Morning, today's daf is Mem Aleph in Chulin. We are finishing up the second parak today of Chulin. The Masechta opened up the first two prakim with a detailed discussion of Shechita. The first parak was a more general discussion of who should shecht and when should you shecht and who, when, why you should shecht, a little bit of that. The second parak is more about the nitty-gritty of Shechita, exactly how to shecht and what are the psule Shechita and what are the proper the proper procedures in terms of Shechita. As we approach now the end of the second parak, so we did a lot of Machshava discussion. We spoke a lot about Machshava regarding Avodah Zarah. If you shecht a animal for a goy, of a goy for a goy, and can he imbue his Machshava Avodah Zarah into the animal and into the Shechita, even though he's not the one who's the Shochet. And so more of that discussion coming up in today's daf. A very basic discussion in the Gemara. In the event that a person shechts l'shem avodah zarah, right? In yesterday's Mishnah that we saw starting on the bottom of Lamed Tesamud Beis, if you could pass me the tissue box, on Lamed Tesamud Beis. So the Mishnah discussed where you shecht for one of the gods, lowercase g. So you're shechting for avodah zarah. So the animal zivchei mesim. So the simplest answer is yes. It's zivchei mesim. It's the animal's takrovas avodah zarah. However, there is technicalities which we learned in yesterday's daf. If you're shechting towards the mountain itself is not, it cannot become an avodah zarah. So therefore, the animal itself is not takrovas avodah zarah, even though you the oved, are in violation of oved avodah zarah. But that's a detail we learned in yesterday's daf. What if the animal didn't belong to me? What if the animal belonged to somebody else? Would it be possible that I could shech somebody else's animal and make it a takrovas avodah zarah? So this was a discussion that we had in yesterday's daf, and presumably the answer is yes. Even though the general is ein adam osir davar sheino shelo, a person cannot give any kind of status to something that does not belong to him. That part's true. Nevertheless, when it comes to a maisa, when you're doing an action. So therefore, Adamos Udav Shena Shalom. At least that's the opinion we saw yesterday of Rav Huna and Ula. If you remember on the Amud Aleph of yesterday's daf, on Mem Amud Aleph, so the Gemara brought in both positions of Rav Huna and Ula. The Gemara strung them together. The statement of Rav Huna was, Haisa Behema Chaveri Rav Utsal Fnei Avodas Kochavim, Kevish Shachar Basim and Echad Asra. The animal of your friend is squatting before an Avodah Zarah, and you do one act of Shechita, not even an entire act of Shechita, but just Siman Echad, and as we learned in yesterday's daf, it wasn't even Siman Echad, just any amount. But once you do a Maisa, so therefore you have now given it status of Avodah Zarah. That's the opinion of Rav Huna. Ula also is in agreement with that as well. The Gemara quoted a second statement of Ula, who quoted the name of Rav Yochan, Afa Pisha Amru Meshachav Lebehemetz Chaver Lo Asra, Asa Ba Maisa Asra. So same basic idea, that even though you can bow down to your animal all day long, and you will not be changing the status of the animal, but once you do a maisa in action, shechting the animal, so that gives it the status. So those are the opinion of the Amoraim of yesterday's daf. Now we turn to today's daf, almost. We are on the bottom of Mem Amud Beis, and Amoraim who disagree. The Gemara, we pick it up right where we left off yesterday. It's about six lines from the bottom. So right after the Simanim, Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, Rav Yitzchak, three Amoraim strung together, Amri, Ein Adam Osir Davar Sheino Shelo. So they're of the opinion that a person cannot Osir Davar Sheino Shelo, cannot give status to something that doesn't belong to them, and even with a Maisa. To what degree are they arguing with Ula and Rav Huna of yesterday's daf? And the answer is not super clear-cut to what degree they argue. If you take a look at the bottom Rashi over here, second to last Rashi, and Adam Oso Davashen Shalo, so Rashi brings in two opinions on this matter. I feel a bit Gemara Maisa. So Rashi says that they argue to the extreme, meaning that doesn't matter how much Maisa you do a lot of Maisa, and still, in Adam Oso Davashen Shalo. Now, the Eastern Mepharshi Ben Maisa called Dehu, Velohi. Now, some are of the opinion that they only argue on a maisa called dehu, on a small action. But lu yitzu had it been a big action, so then they would be of the opinion that they would be in agreement with Rav Huna and Ula of yesterday's daf. However, dim kein, but bavalohi. But Rashi himself, although admits some are of the opinion, Rashi himself dismisses that opinion. Dim kein lo havemenasech tuyufte da maisa gamahu lakame most of la mimenasech. Well, one of the kashas we're going to be asking in the upcoming sugya is from the action of nisuch, Nisach is all you can do, meaning that is what we would call a Maisa Gamor. It's a definitive act. It's the entire act. And meanwhile, that's coming up in the discussion. Clearly, that's talking about a Maisa Gamor. So Rashi says that he prefers the first pshat, which is that they argue to the extreme. Meaning it doesn't matter how much Maisa you do, you can do a total and complete Maisa, and yet it's not going to change the status of the animal. Now, Maisa the Gemara challenges their position.
So the owner can eat that animal? That animal?
Ostensibly. Meaning, l'chor, that would be their, that would be the halacha. Again, it happens to be, I know it's not so clear cut, but kipshuto, the answer is yes. Maisve the Gemara challenges based on a brisa. Now this brisa we spent a lot of time yesterday analyzing and giving you nukimta. A possibility of doing one act of shechita in being in violation of three isurei karis. You do so b'shogeg. So that's why the brisa here talks about having to bring three carbon chatuses. One is that it's Shabbos, you violate Shabbos. Two, Avodah Zarah, you shechted a four Avodah Zarah. And three, Shchut Echut, so you did it outside. Ve'u Kimnan. Now, after we learned this brisa together, why did the brisa say you were shechting a chatas? Why not just stam a regular carbon? So the reason why, as we explained in yesterday's daf, is Ve'u Kimnan b'chatas of v'chatsi kanapagum. It's because it's a chatas sa'of, it's a bird chatas, where you only need to shech one of the simanim. The trachea is already half open, it's half severed, which does not render the animal a trefa. And all you need to do is just put the smallest action, and it will become shechted. And that is how all three isurim can come simultaneously. Now, with all that stated, that's all we did yesterday. Now, time of the chatas ha'of, the kulubah ha'da'ad ha'dekasyan. Specifically, where we're looking for chatas ha'of, so that with one little nick, you could do everything we just described. Aval zevach lo. But clearly, because what we were looking to do was avoid stam a regular carbon. I'm sorry, behemanami. And the Gemara wonders, I don't understand. In a situation where it was stam a regular animal, and if I subscribe to the opinions of Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, and Rav Yitzchak, that a person cannot osa davashenu shalom, so then what's the big deal? Let's talk about a bona fide carbon, a regular carbon. What was our problem yesterday? If it's the davashenu shalom, so how could you be in violation of shchut echutz? Remember the rashi we did yesterday. Shchut echutz served as the biggest challenge because shchut echutz means that it has to be a shchita that's recognized outside the base of mikdash. Once you start shechting l'shem avodah zarah, it's afra ba'alma. It's nothing. It's an animal, but status wise, it's absolutely nothing. But if you hold ein adam osa davashenu shalom, afilu b'maisa rabba, let's go like Rashi, so that means to say that you're shechting it, but you're really not changing its status, and therefore, we don't need to give the example of chatzas ha'of, chatzik hanipogum. You don't need to do that. It could be as just a regular animal. So the Gemara says, kev dekanyule l'chapar kidide damya. So the Gemara here entertains the svar, which interestingly, in yesterday's daf, the Gemara did not like. But here the Gemara is going to like the svar, and that is a chatzas animal. Is it yours or is it not yours? So there's a tension. It's not yours, meaning it's a carbon. It belongs to the base of Mikdash. If you get any benefit from it, you're moel behektish. All true. On the other hand, what's its purpose? To give you a kapara. So because it's giving you a kapara, so therefore you do have a relationship to this animal, clearly. Is it an ownership relationship? So the Gemara says a little bit, right? Again, the language of the Gemara. Came into kangale le kapara, since it's giving you a kapara, kidi de damya. It's like yours. So that tension of, are you the owner? Kind of. Yeah, yes. Maybe. But you understand. In other words, so therefore, the reason why the only scenario now we have is this Bryce could be talking about is a chatzas ha'of with chatzik hanapagum, is because right now we are accepting the svara of it's your animal. And since it's your animal, so therefore you can give it status right away, and that presents the problem of if you're giving it status right away, so then how can you be in violation of shchut echutz, et cetera, because right now we're accepting this far that the animal really is yours. Okay. Okay, good. We are on the top of Mem Aleph, Amid Aleph, and the Gemara has more questions to ask on this shita. the shita that ain adam oser davar shena shelo, even with a maisa. The Gemara quotes a brisa. Actually, sorry, the Gemara quotes our Mishnah Tashma. Two people holding on to the knife, one on one and the other in the other hand, and they're sawing back and forth. I don't really mean sawing, but I'm just giving you the image. And they're cutting the animal, they're shechting the animal. One has the machshava kshera, the other one has the machshava of avodah zara. The Mishnah says, no good. Shechitas psula. So, at this point in time, the Gemara is now wondering to itself, are both of them the owner? Ostensibly not. One is the owner, one isn't the owner. Well, the one who isn't the owner, so how could it be infusing a machshava psula into the animal if he's not the owner? That's the Gemara's question. But the answer is pretty obvious. So, So the Gemara says that the two people can, in fact, be the owners. They could be partners on the animal. And so, therefore, don't bother me with the Mishnah. Tashma, the Gemara says, how about the following? So here, the Mishnah in Gittin, in the fifth parak of Gittin, a super interesting Mishnah is having to do with the topic of a hezek sheinu nikar. Eye damage, but it's not a physical damage. It's just damage that changes the status of your item. What's the halacha? By hezek sheinu nikar, hezek sheinu nikar, shmei hezek, eino shmei hezek. So that's the Gemara in the fifth parak of Gittin. So over here, just example after example of hezek sheinu nikar, meaning it's I'm damaging, but only from a status standpoint. Now I'm not physically breaking the item. Hamitame. So the first example is that I go over to your truma and I'm in the time of your truma. Second example, midameya. I take your truma and I mix it together with chulin. So, what can you do with the truma right now? I'm sorry, better question. What can you do with the chulin right now? Not a whole lot. You can't eat the chulin because we're assuming there's no bittul. Bittul, for bittul to occur, you need a ratio of 1 to 100. One part truma, 100 parts non-truma. So we're assuming we don't have that ratio. So what do you do with all the chulin now that got mixed in? So the answer is you yourself can't eat it. And you're now going to sell to a kohen. The market is a really, really soft market. It's a weak market because the kohen can get his truma for free. So I'm going to pay for truma that I can get for free. So you significantly reduce the value by taking truma, somebody else's truma, mixing it together with chulin. But at the same time, did you physically damage? No. You just damaged it halachically. And hamanasech, and if you go to somebody's wine, and do nisuch to somebody else's wine, so by taking your hand, putting into the wine, and agitating the wine with the kavana of avodah zarah, so in all these circumstances, what's the halacha in terms of the financial liability that you have? Bishogig pater b'mezid chayev. If you do so inadvertently, so then you're going to be pater financially. If you do so intentionally, so then you're going to be chayev. Why there should there be a distinction? Generally speaking, what do we say? Adamur la'olam. A person is always liable for every action that he does. You break it, you pay for it. It doesn't matter whether or not you were intentional, unintentional, but this is hezek sheinu nikar, therefore it falls under its own category. Another question which is posed by Rashi, by Menasech, isn't that an act of avodah zarah? Don't we have the principle of kimle b'derabah minei? See Rashi, see the Gemara in Gittin that asks these questions. Good. In the meantime, for our purposes right now, we're only focused on one point, and that is, it's not your wine. You're agitating somebody else's wine, and we're discussing a financial liability you have to pay. You know, you don't have to pay. I don't understand. How did you even give it status to begin with? It's not your wine. So if you hold that Adam osa davar sheinu shelo b'maisa with an action, that's very good. But over here, if you don't hold that position, so how did you even affect his wine? So hachanami desle shutfos begave. So the Gemara again says that you are a part owner of the wine, so you're a partner in the wine, and that is how you can impart status into the wine, because you are a part owner. Kitanai, the Gemara now points out that this machlokus that we had in yesterday's daf, between the opinions of Rav Huna and Ula on one side, who says that ain adam osa davar sheinu shelo, but with a maisa, adam osa davar sheinu shelo, and the opinions of Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, Rav Yitzchok, who say ain adam osa davar sheinu shelo, even with a maisa. So the Gemara now is suggesting it's a machlokus tanaim. The Gemara quotes the Braisa. Ove kolcham shenisei chiyenu shel Yisrael, a non-Jew who is to be menasech the wine of a Jew, but it was not in front of avodah zarah, asro, he nevertheless prohibits it. Rav Yehuda ben Basir, Rav Yehuda ben Bava, Matirin oso mimnei shenei dvarim. So they allow it for one of two reasons. Echad, she'ein menaschin yain ela b'fnei avodah kochavim. In other words, if you're not in front of avodah zarah, nisuch is not normally done, meaning he's just agitating. He's not actually being Oved Avodah Zarah because they're not in front of the actual Avodah Zarah itself. And they, Ela Bifnei Avodah Kochan, the Echad Sheyachol Lomar Lo, Lo Kol Heyman Chashitei Asa Yeni La'on Si. And the second reason why the wine is fine is because you can't be ma'anes me, you can't disturb me, you can't bother me, you don't have the ability to influence and affect my wine. Now, what exactly does that mean? It's not against my will. Now, what does that mean, not against my will? So ostensibly what that means is that in this brayso over here, you have exactly this machlokus of the Amorayim, but now it's a brayso, now it's a machlokus of Tanayim. Meaning, according to the Tanakama, a person can affect, influence, change the status of somebody else's item with a maisa. Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, on the other hand, simply disagrees. No, you can't. So lechora, these Tanayim are arguing on this very issue of whether or not a person can change the status of somebody else's item with a maisa. Now the Gemara says, now Rav Nachman, Rav Aman, Rav Yitzchak Amrei, afil aman damar adam osed avishena shalo. So the Amoraim of Rav Nachman, Rav Aman, Rav Yitzchak, who are all of the opinion that a person cannot change the status, they'll say that even here in this Brisa, and even according to the Tanakhama, they fundamentally agree with us, but it's different over here. Hani milikusei, that's true when it comes to akusei, aval Yisrael litzu'ure kamechavein. That's true when it comes to akusei, meaning the Brisa was talking about a non-Jew. But if in fact we're talking about a Yisrael, so litzu'ure kamechavein, meaning, what is his real intent? His real intent is to be over to Avodah Zarah? Of course not. In other words, he's a Jew. His real intent is just to make me crazy. Meaning, Litzu'ure Kamechavin. And so the only reasons why the second Tanaim of the Braisa are saying that the wine is not going to change and be influenced in status is because we're talking specifically about a Jew, and their only reason why they're looking to do so is Litzu'ure just to bother me. Not because they really believe in the Avodah Zarah. And so the Gemara defends the positions of the three Amorayim, and they say that they can even be going like the last Tanaim of this Braisa, Tashma. Gemara says, what about the following? So the Gemara quotes again the case of the knife being held by the two people, one having a machshava of a machshava kshera, and the other one having a machshava of a avodah zarah. And again, the Gemara says, "Hachba ma'iskin." And so, what are we talking about over here? Bisrael mummer. Meaning, if we just learn together the svara of Litzuri Kamechavin, so can we make the argument that the second person holding the knife, meaning the Yisrael, can we make the argument that he's just there Litzuri Kamechavin, just to make me crazy, but he doesn't really believe in the Avodah Zarah? And the Gemara says no, because in the case of the Mishnah, he's Yisrael mummer, meaning he's a real believer in the Avodah Zarah. So, in the case of the Metame.
No, but this,
yeah.
And if he's not Lashum Echad Mikalelu, it's Tam Shchitas Yisrael Mumar, it's a Psula.
If he had no Kavanah whatsoever. Interesting. Interesting, okay. Okay, it's interesting. I don't have an answer. Tashma. So the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah in Gittin, where somebody is menasech somebody else's wine. So again, if we assume that it's Yisrael, and we assume Litzuri Kamechavein, so again, the Gemara says, so what's the problem? In other words, how can you change the status of the wine when we're assuming Litzuri Kamechavein? And again, Hachanam be Yisrael Mamar. So the answer that Gemara gives is that it's Yisrael Mamar. So Amalei Ravacha Breid Ravala Ravashi Hisru Bava Kibah Alav Hasra Mai. Let's say you give him a warning and he accepts a warning. Meaning, you see somebody who's about to be Oved Avodah Zarah, Nisuch or whatever the case is. Let's go back to Nisuch. You see somebody who's about to be Menasech wine, and you issue a warning, a formal warning, don't do that, the Torah says not to be Oved Avodah Zarah. And if you do that, you're going to be Chayiv Misa. Do you understand everything I'm saying? And he says, V'kibal alav hasra. Yes, afal piken, I'm going to do it with the understanding of everything you just said. Meaning, hasra, a halachic warning that's issued in the Torah is only going to be recognized if there was Kabbalah hasra, that you have to accept and acknowledge the warning that you were given. If you do not accept the warning, so then halachically it's not a hasra. Over here, he does accept the warning. So what would be the halach? What would be the status? Meaning, what's the Gemara's question? Meaning, as we all just learned together, when it comes to Yisrael doing these avodah zarah activities, the Gemara has a strong svara of letzurah kamechavin, that he doesn't really mean, he's not interested in the avodah zarah. What he's really, what he's really interested in doing is just bothering you. So, question on the table is, but as we a number of Mishnayos that we just cited, and the answer repeatedly was, oh, that's Yisrael Momer. And the Gemara now wants to know, Yisrael Momer, when does he get to the point of Yisrael Momer? We have no history about him. We don't know anything about him. But we did warn him, and he accepted the warning. And he says, yeah, I know that. Does that make him immediately Yisrael Momer? The Gemara gives a very straight answer, and that is, if he accepts the warning, so he is a mumer. Ein mumer gadol mizeh. That's the very definition of a mumer. We are continuing the mission where mem alpha mad alpha in the bottom of the Amud. Ein shochtin lo l'soch yamin v'lo l'soch naharus v'lo l'soch kelim. You cannot shecht your animal, not into where the blood is going to pour down into the, either into an ocean or into a river or into kelim. What's the problem with all this? So if you take a look at Rashi, right away in the Mishnah, l'soch yamin d'lo lemer l'shara d'yama. So we're back to Avodah Zarah and the problems of Avodah Zarah. So what's the issue? The issue is that if you're shechting into a receptacle, so it looks like you're doing some sort of Kabbalah Hadam. If you're doing Kibbul Hadam, well, you're not, this is a chulin, this is not a carbon, you're not in the Beis HaMikdash, so what are you doing? So there are a couple possibilities, meaning it could also be Shchut Echutz. But most probably what you're doing, or at least not what you're doing, but how is it perceived? Perceive that you're being over to Avodah Zarah. So therefore, you can't do these activities. You can't shech the animal, not to an ocean, not to a river, not to kelim. But what you can do is you can shech into an uga shamayim. What exactly does that mean? Again, I go back to Rashi. Like a small hole in the ground. Right? Right? Aguma, says Rashi. Now, uvisfina agabe kelim. Now, if you're on a boat, so now you can shech the animal on a kli. Meaning, you're in a boat, you're in a confined area. So now, if you don't have a place where the blood is going to go, the boat's going to get dirty. You don't want the blood to just be simply running around all over the boat. So there, you do have an allowance to shecht into a kli. Ein shecht leguma kol ikar. Then the Mishnah confuses us a little bit, because then the Mishnah says, and oh, by the way, don't shecht into any kind of hole whatsoever. Right? So now that's obviously confusing, because the Mishnah previously said you're allowed to. Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to clean up that Mishnah. Now, if you're shechting in your house, it's understood. You don't want the blood to just simply go all over the floor of the house. So what do? So there in the house, you have an allowance that you can shecht into some sort of pit in your house. In the market, you're not allowed to do this, and meaning if you're in a public area, you're not allowed to do this. Because then it's chukas hagayim, right? Now I say chukas hagayim. The Gemara says sheyichake es atzidukim. Tzidukim are not goyim, the Jews. But as we'll see, we're going to quote the Gemara in just a minute from now. It is going to be based on the pasuk of chukosem lo selechu. So we could call it chukas hagayim, although that's not a perfect read of the Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah over here gives us a lot of restrictions in terms of when you're shechting. Don't make it look like Avodah Zarah, that you're shechting it for Avodah Zarah, so therefore don't allow the blood to drain into certain areas, not into the river, etc., etc. In your house, things are a little bit different. Interesting question. Tosos asks it right over here. Basically, this is a Marasine issue, meaning you're not being over to Avodah Zarah, it's just that there's a perception that it looks like Avodah Zarah, and so therefore that's why you should refrain from these kinds of activities. We know that if something is Asa Mishum Avodah Zarah, Afilu B'Chadre Chadarim. So that means to say that even if you're not in the public, even if you're private, in a private area, once something is deemed a Maris Ayin issue, so then it's going to be also both publicly and privately as well. And so why over here in our Mishnah is our Mishnah saying that, well, you know, in your house, so you're private, so therefore you can allow the blood to drain into a hole that you prepared. Well, why? Meaning if this is Maris Ayin, so it should be also both in the public and should be and in the private as well. Bottom Tosfos on the Amud. So Tosfos over here asks exactly this question. Avalo keneged ha'am. Shim hayu roin oso kain b'tzina, hayu sham chshad kamo b'shuk. I'll tell you when it becomes a problem of marasayin being both a problem publicly and privately. Because if somebody were to see your private action, they would say, oh, I see what's going on over here. He's a violator of the Torah. The example in Shabbos that Tosfos here is referring to is allowing your clothes to dry right before Shabbos, meaning you wash your clothes right before Shabbos and you put them on the on a line to dry going into Shabbos. Now, if you do that publicly and somebody passes by your house, so he's going to say, oh, that's interesting, washing the clothing on Shabbos. Okay, I see what's going on here. So that's, in other words, that's chshat. Now, we all know. In other words, we have to be down the kaf schus. We have to judge everyone favorably. But that always is a tension with being down the kaf schus and the issues of marasayin. Other people have to judge you favorably, but you have to behave in a way in which don't give people, don't force people to have to judge you favorably. Meaning, you should always be on your best behavior. So, and if somebody went into your house and saw a line with clothing drying on the line, they're going to say the same thing. So under those circumstances, it's also both in the public and in the private. But if you're doing it in your house, so people can give a very plausible alternative explanation in terms of why it is that you are collecting the blood in one area. So once we have a equally plausible explanation in terms of why you're doing it this way, privately it would be okay. Publicly, there's still going to be a marasayin issue, but privately would be okay. That's one possible way Tosos addresses the issue. Continue in Tosos, I'm not going to, but continue in Tosos for other possible ways of explaining the issue. We are on the top of Mem Alpha Mid Beis. We start with the Gemara. Ain shokten lo lesoch maishna lesoch yamim delo damri lishara diyama kashachit. So if you shecht into the ocean, allowing the blood to drain into the ocean, people will say, oh, he is serving the shara diyam, the star shal yam, the spiritual force of the ocean. So lesoch ugo shomayim nami amri lebaboa kashachit. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if it's just a little puddle, And you're shechting and you're allowing the blood to go into the little puddle. So what is that puddle doing? It's reflecting, and it's reflecting your image. And so therefore, you are shechting to an image. Granted, it's your reflection, but still it's an image. And if we're worried about perception and the way it looks and people see me doing this, and oh, I'm shechting to an avodah zara. I'm shechting to a tsura, to an image. So why isn't that a problem over here? So I'm a Rav Bachurim Shanu. So Rav's answer is that the water is muddy water. There's no reflection, and therefore no concern. Ain shochtin leguma, how about into a pit? V'amar ain shochtin leguma klal. And here the Gemara is bothered by exactly the question we noted in the Mishnah. The mixed messages giving from the Mishnah. On one hand, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to shecht into a guma at all. And then the Mishnah says, well, if you're in your house, you can shecht into a guma. So how does that work, Amar Abai? A resha b'guma shebashuk. So it could very well be that the resha is talking about a guma in a shuk, where you're not allowed to shecht at all. So Amar Elei Rava v'hamid diktani sefa uvishuk lo yaseh kein. So Rava says that's not the structure of the Mishnah. Rava says if you look at the Mishnah, you look at the structure of the Mishnah, only afterwards does it make a distinction between being in the house and being in the shuk. Mechlal d'resha l'avishuk askinan. So the first part of the Mishnah, which talked about not shechting into a guma at all, that's before we made the distinction of in the shuk versus not being in the shuk. So alam Rava hachi kamar. So we're going to have to read the Mishnah as follows, says Rava. A person is not allowed to shecht into a pit at all, collecting the blood into a pit. So, but let's say now you want to clean your chatzer. So what do you do? So what you can do is that you can have a little groove in the ground, shecht into that groove. That groove is now going to drain into a hole. That way, your courtyard now remains clean, and you're not shechting into a pit. So basically, shecht proximate to the pit with a little bit of a channel allowing the blood to drain into the pit, but to shecht directly into the pit. So again, that's a marasayin issue. It looks like you're there collecting the blood, so that you're not allowed to do. Uveshuk lo yasaken shleichake esat tzedukim. And then Rava continues reading the Mishnah. If you're in the public area, so then, bechlal uchlal, no, you cannot do that, even in the way we just outlined. even if you are just shechting proximate to the pit and allowing the blood to go into the pit, but in the shuk, however, you want to even avoid such a perception. Tanya Kavasi, the Rav, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, supporting exactly how Rava read the Mishnah. Hayim Alach Mitzvina Vein Lamakam Mitzvina Lishcha Motzi Ado Chutz Tzvina V'Shochi V'Dam Shoshes V'Yored Al Dofni Asvina. Let's say you're in a boat and you want to shecht, and you do not want the blood to go onto the boat. It's a small boat. You allow the blood to go onto the boat, it's going to be really unpleasant. You can't allow the blood to go into the water because, again, the Mishnah banned draining the blood into the water. It looks like you're worshiping the Sar Shal Yam. What do? You shecht immediately outside of the boat, meaning, I guess, you know, you lean over the side of the boat. You let the blood drain onto the side of the boat, and that blood can then go down into the water. That would be okay. Vein shochi l'guma kol yekir, your person is not allowed to shecht into a pit. V'arosel anakir chatzera, however, if you do not want your courtyard to get dirty, k'eset o'osel, o'osel makam chutz l'guma v'shochi v'dam shoses v'yared l'guma. So therefore you do what we just got done describing. But here it's the Braisa. And the Braisa is saying it exactly the same way Rava said it. So in your chatzera, you'll shecht, not into the pit, next to the pit, there can be a little groove allowing the draining of the blood into the pit, and that's fine. However, and in the market, you're not allowed to do that because of it's chukas agayim. Now, if you see a person doing that in the market, which it looks like idolatry, well, here's the rule: if it looks like idolatry, probably is. Now, again, we have to be done lekav tchus. So we're not going to immediately say that he's an Ovid of Avodah Zarah. But if you see somebody in the market shechting where he's collecting the blood, so you got to check him out. And Rashi over here writes, interesting, Rashi. Rashi says, B'dika acharav shema minhu la'avodas kochavim v'yibadlu mipito umiyeno. Once established that he is some sort of min, so he can't eat his bread and you can't eat his and you can't drink his wine. And we learned some of this back in the first parak of Chulin right here in our Masechta. We are in the Mishnah in the middle of Mem Aleph Amud Beis, a continuation of basically the same discussion, but here and now we move from Avodah Zarah. We now enter into the world of Kachim. Now remember, we're learning Chulin right now. You're shechting a Chulin animal. But you articulate while you're shechting that this is going to be for some sort of carbon. Okay, so aside from the fact that you are in close proximity to violating the Isra and the Torah of Shchut Echutz, but you weren't maktish the animal. It's not the pshat that you were maktish the animal. It's just that you had some sort of, you articulate some sort of carbon, and it could be very misleading. Meaning somebody sees you doing that, oh, it's so interesting, you're shechting a carbon outside the base of Mikdash. It's a little bit weird. I didn't know you could do that. I thought you were a firm guy. And so what the Mishnah is going to tell us is that under certain circumstances, the Chachamim said, it's so misleading that we're going to ban the Shechita. Other times, the Chachamim said, you know what? No one's going to walk away thinking anything, arriving at any erroneous conclusions. Where are we going to draw the distinction? So we see the Mishnah together inside. Hashoch l'shem hola l'shem zvachim l'shem Hashem tov l'shem Pesach l'shem tov d'shchita sapsula. If you're shechting an animal, it's a chulin animal, and you articulate while you shecht it that this is, this is going to be for purposes of an ola or of a zevach, or this is going to be for an Hashem tolui. Hashem tolui is a carbon that's brought in the event that a person may or may not have violated one of the Isuri kares. And he's going to bring a carbon, a temporary carbon, temporary meaning, that it's going to cover him temporarily because he's not sure whether he violated an Isser Kares, and it is lahagin al hayisurim, it protects him from any yisurim that would come as a result of a possible violation of an Isser Kares. That's an Hashem Tali. L'shem Pesach and L'shem Toda, in all these cases, the Shechita would be a Shechita Psula. The reason why there would be a Shechita Psula is because all these carbonates that we just outlined are possible to be brought at any point in time by anybody. Now, I know I said that. If you're thinking about the list that we just covered, really? Carbon Pesach? Carbon Pesach can be brought by anybody at any time? That's obviously not true. So stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that very question. But right now, I'll just say it generically. These are carbonates that can be brought by any person by any time. And also, you can wonder to yourself as well, Hashem Talui? Is that also true? So stay tuned. We're going to be discussing that as well. But again, I'm just going to go back to saying a simple pshat, an oversimplified pshat in the Mishnah, and that is these are karbanos that can be brought by any person, by any time. So the observer who sees you doing this is saying to himself, oh, that's interesting. Shchut Echutz, right? Mm-hmm. And so therefore the Chachamim said that Shchit is going to be a Shchit Psula. Now Rabbi Shimon Machshir. Now Rabbi Shimon says that in these cases, such a carbon would be a kasher carbon. Shnayim ochzim, besakin, v'shochtin, echa l'shum, echa mikol elu, v'echa l'shum davar kasher. Two people holding the knife. One person has any one of these kavanas that we just outlined as being pasul, according to the Tanna Kamma. And the other person has a shchita, has a machshava kshera. So what happens now with the combination shchita that's done, where one person's machshava is pasul and the other one's kasher? We've been very consistent on this point throughout all the Mishnayos. It's no good. Shchita is the psula. Hashoch l'shem chatzos l'shem hashem vad l'shem bechor l'shem meiser l'shem temura shchita sok shera. If let's say while shechting this animal you declare it's a chatas, it's an hashem vadai, it's a bechor, it's a meiser behima, it's a temura, in all these cases the shchita would in fact be a shchita kshera. Shchita kshera, I don't understand. Aren't you attempting to do shchutei chutz? And the answer is no. In other words, are you really obligated to bring a carbon chatas? People would know. I know this sounds funny. People would know if you have to bring a carbon chatas. Now, it could very well be that people don't know. You didn't share. And not only that, you don't have to share. And not only that, you really shouldn't share with other people. You're a virus. Okay, so I understand that it's a little bit funny to say that everybody knows that it's not, you know, you're not obligated to bring a carbon chatas. But I'll say it because that's basically what the Mishnah is saying. And the same thing is true with the Nashim Vadai. Bechor also. In other words, again, back in the day when, you know, we were much more agricultural in nature, if you had a bechor, everybody knew it was a bechor. If you're saying that this animal, which is not a bechor, it's a chulin, is a bechor, people know you're not, you're just saying something which is just nonsense. And the same thing is true with the Meister Behemoth, the same thing is true regarding a Temura. Zeh HaKlal, and the Mishnah says, let's sum it up. Kol davar shenidav v'nidav, l'shem ola l'shem, I'm sorry, kol davar shenidav v'nidav, hashoch l'shmo aser. So, if it's something which could be voluntarily brought at any point in time, and you shecht your carbon chulin, declaring that this animal is in fact an ola, a zevach, shlamim, anything that could have been offered at any point in time by any person, so the shechita is going to be a shechita psula because of the perception that it brings about. Ma she'ein kein, if it's a carbon where people know that you're not obligated to bring, and so in a shechta l'shem that particular carbon, the shechita would be a shechita kshera. Obviously, that's not behavior that you should be doing, obviously, but nevertheless, the resulting shechita would be a shechita kshera. We start with the Gemara. Hashochet l'shem ola, l'shem ola, asham tali bar nidar v'nidav hu. I don't understand. One of the examples that's given of a carbon that could be brought by any person at any point in time, basically with no notice, is an Hashem Talui. Really? The Gemara says, I don't understand that. Meaning, the Gemara doesn't really articulate the question, but let's articulate the question. That doesn't make any sense. Meaning, what is an Hashem Talui? You eat a piece of fat. Was that Shuman that you just ate, or was that Chalav you just ate? Well, as we're about to enter into the third parak tomorrow morning of Chulin, not immediately, but eventually we're going to learn about the chalavs in the animal. And some of them are chalav daraisa, some of them are chalav darabanan, some of them is shuman, which is heter gamur. And you have to know the anatomy of the animal in order to know which chalav is asr and which chalav is mutter. You ate a piece you didn't know. Now, generally speaking, by ashram talui, there has to be two pieces in front of you. One is chalav, one is shuman. You ate one of those two pieces. You don't know which one. And so, but in either case, the halach is under those circumstances and only under those circumstances, do you bring an Hashem Talui? Why is our Mishnah putting Hashem Talui in the category of, it's a carbon you can bring anytime you want? No, it's not. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yochanan, Hamani Rebbe El Azar Hi. The Amar Misnadev Adam Hashem Talui Bechol Yom. So the Gemara says that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rebbe El Azar. Rebbe El Azar says that you can bring an Hashem Talui any day that you want. Now, why exactly is that true according to Rebbe Elazar? It's a really interesting Rashi over here. Rashi writes over here, Bechol Yom, Shebechol Yom Hu Omid B'Safik Chatas. So every day he stands with a Safik Chatas. V'libo Nokfo Shema Chata. And basically he walks around with a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress because maybe he was a Chote. U'matzino Shehichshu Akasav Hashem Tov Likar V'Le'achal Hecha Dehuchzak Safik Chet Be'edim. Now, in the event that there is a safek chet and witnesses saw the possible violation, v'hainami anan sahadei dechol yom safek chet kai. And we can testify that this person is in a state of safek chet. It's a really interesting Rashi. I'm not really sure how to give good pshat in the Rashi, but Rashi over here employs the idea of anan sahadei. Basically, we can see that this person is such a nervous person that, you know what? Anan Sahadi, we are basically serving as testimony that he, in fact, is obligated to bring an Ashram Talui. Okay. Anyway, back to the Gemara Pesach, Bar Nidav and Nidav Hu. So the Gemara says, and as long as we're on the subject of Karbanos that don't fit in the first category of the Mishnah, Karbanos that you could bring anytime you want, let's talk about Karban Pesach. That's a Karban you can bring anytime you want? Of course you can't. It's one day of the year you bring the Karban Pesach. Not even a day, a half a day. So the Gemara says, Zmanik Viale. So Amrav Oshia Shani Pesach Vifrashto Kol Hashana Kula. So the Gemara says that's true in terms of the actual hakrava of the Karban Pesach. So you're right; it's on the afternoon of Erev Pesach. That part's true. However, when could you be Maktish the Karban Pesach? Anytime you want, any day of the year you want. Amrav Yana Loshanu Ela Tamimim Avabale Momim Meida Yade. Now this halacha that we just learned in the Mishnah that you shecht an animal, a chulin animal, declaring it's a karban, and now that perception of shchut echus, and therefore the chachamim banned it, that only is if the animal is a tamim. But if the animal is a balmom, nobody will think it's a karban. So and therefore the shchita resulting from it is a shchita kshera. Rav Yochanan amar afilo balimomim namizim derami lemidi amuma velo yedia. And Rav Yochanan disagrees. Even if the animal is a baal mum, what you do for the physical blemish, you cover the physical blemish. You say how you're going to shech this animal. L'shem, whatever carbon is a carbon that can be brought at any point in time, and people don't know. And again, that perception now created that you just shechted a carbon outside the base of Mikdash. Hashoch l'shem chatas, finishing up. I'm Rav Yochanan l'shanu al l'shem mechuyev chatas, ava mechuyev chatas, em l'shem chatas, so hu ose. Now, let's say a person actually is obligated to bring a Karban Chatas, and now he takes a chulin animal outside the area of the base of Mikdash and says, Yishech L'Shem Chatas. Is that a problem? So Rav Yochanan says, yes, it is. V'halo kamer L'Shem Chatasi. The Gemara says, okay, but he didn't say that this is for my chait that I violated. So I'm Rabbi Abau, b'omer L'Shem Chatasi. So Rabbi Abau says, okay, you're right, he didn't say that. So you know what? He said it. In other words, the halacha would be the case if, in fact, he's chayav a Karban Chatas and he said, L'shem chatasay. Shem tamura. Am Rav Elazar lo shanu ala she'en lo zevach besoch beso, aval yesh lo zevach besoch beso, ema amura amir bay. We said that a tamura is not something that people likely have in their house. However, if they already have a carbon in their house, so is there a chance that he has a tamura carbon as well? There's a chance. So the Gemara says, V'halo ka'am l'shem tamuras zivchi. Yeah, but he didn't say while shechting this animal, this is going to be for the tamura of my karban. So Amar Rabbi Abba, Ba'am L'Shem Tamura Zivchi. So again, the solution is, he said it. He said that this is for a tamura, for a karban that I have in my house. Ze'aklal asui emai. You know the end of the Mishnah, whenever we have the word ze'aklal, so that's including something. What is it coming to include? Lasui olas nazir. Demau de tema, the ola of a nazir. Where? Ha lo nadar. So and now you're wondering to yourself, you know, I didn't hear about that person becoming a nazir, and so I know he says that it's for his nazirus, but I don't think he became a nazir. Emer nadar b'tzina. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? It could very well be that it was privately he was a nazir. Now, in terms of the long hair, how are we explaining the long hair? Okay, whatever. Right now, it's a new style. And something that's not nidav and nidav, what is that coming to include? The ola of a woman who gave birth. Now that's true where the man is not married, meaning the Gemara is right now assuming that the husband is bringing the carbon on behalf of his wife. Now that's true if the man is married. Now if the man is married and he's bringing a carbon, again, not to the base of Mikdash, it's outside the base of Mikdash, and he's saying that this is my carbon for the Yoledes, and he's married. So over here, now we can give a very possible explanation that, yeah, he actually He may just have had a baby. V'halokam l'shem olas ishti, am Rabbi Abba, l'shem olas ishti. So the Gemara says, and again, Rabbi Abba keeps chiming in with, and he has to say, it's for olas ishti. Now, ma'u detem, as we turn now to the end of the perek, im isa diyalda kala havale, and the Gemara says, now wait one second. So this man now is bringing a carbon olah for the wife that gave birth, and nobody heard about it. There was no announcement, right? We didn't see it in the weekly. Like, what is that? So the Gemara says, Kamash Malan, Emari Pula Apil. And the Gemara says, Rachmanus, yeah, that's right. In other words, it could be that his wife gave birth and nobody knew about it, nobody heard about it. And the Gemara gives a very simple and plausible explanation in terms of why nobody heard about it. It was an Eifo. The halacha is that a woman still chayv to bring a carbon, even though what resulted from the birth was an Eifo. The Mishnayos and Nida go through a lot of detail in terms of what Nefals do have to bring a carbon, what Nephalim do not require carbon, but a Nefal does, in fact, under certain circumstances, does, in fact, require a carbon. So, and obviously, they don't want to share that information with anybody. It's tragic news, and they don't want to share that information with anybody. So under those circumstances, there could be a chi of carbon yoledes, and nobody heard about the birth of a baby. And so under those circumstances, once again, the guy declares that he's offering this, even though he's outside the base of Mikdash, but it could be that he's obligated to bring such a carbon, and so subsequently, the shechita is going to be a shechita psula. Hajran l'chashoche, that is the end of the second parak of the Masechta. If you have any kind of picture book to bring in tomorrow, I strongly recommend it. Tomorrow, although admittedly tomorrow, not a lot of anatomy, even though we're going through all 18 trefas tomorrow. I know it's funny, but we're not doing a lot of anatomy. Tomorrow's like kind of like gross anatomy, if you will. And some of you may think it's gross, so that's just as fine. But over the course of the upcoming perek, for the next month of the Masechta, so it's a picture's worth 1,000 words, and so if you have any kind of picture book, that would be good.